So the Portland City Council will come back from a short break. And Carla, can you please read the council calendar item? It is a report and a resolution. So can you please read the title for both item number 523 and 524?
Mm-hmm. 523, accept report and recommendations of the Rose Quarter Development Project Stakeholder Advisory Committee regarding the Memorial Coliseum. 524, accept the recommendation of the Rose Quarter Development Project Stakeholder Advisory Committee regarding the Memorial Coliseum and request that the Portland Development Commission act as the city's agent and issue a request for proposal.
So if I could have the City Council consider this amendment to the resolution, which is item number 542, that just clarifies that we as a City Council request a full base case scenario be produced and used as a point of comparison when evaluating the other proposals.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So I'll have a brief opening comments, and then I will turn to the staff project team for a presentation, and then we will have a presentation from the three finalists and one of the two alternates. So it should go without saying, but I guess is worth repeating, that the Rose Quarter has stymied many a mayor and city council for the past 15, 16, 17 years. And even though there have been, I know of at least three formal plans for the Rose Quarter, none of them move forward for a variety of reasons. For reasons of passion. People are passionate about Memorial Coliseum. It's where they went to graduate from high school. It's where they saw a rock show. I saw my first Blazer game in the top seats at the Memorial Coliseum, and therefore the surrounding district sort of holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts. It's also where the region's important legs of the region's transit come together. And so the quarter itself is very unique in the United States in terms of what the possibilities are. What we're considering today is not a decision about the future of the Rose Quarter. It's not even a decision about Memorial Coliseum. But it is a milestone of consulting with the City Council and getting their authorization to move forward into the next phase of Memorial Coliseum. I would guesstimate that it represents about 20 to 25% of what it will take to come up with a full Memorial Coliseum Rose Quarter District plan that will be acceptable to a majority of the stakeholders. There are three, like I said, there's a base case, three proposers that are authorized to move forward, and two alternates. In terms of why we started with the Rose Quarter, in part because there has been a lot more planning. There are actual plans, paper plans, in bookshelves in these hallowed halls and in elsewhere around the city. That's already been done. And each of those efforts got hung up on, well, what about Memorial Coliseum? But I want to make it really clear, because it... That in and of itself, that hiccup between figuring out Memorial Coliseum and its relationship to the best and highest use for the quarter and the quarter's relationship to the best and highest use of Memorial Coliseum has been a key sticking point in previous efforts. So I just want to make it really clear to my colleagues and everyone in the room and everyone watching, we have to do both. And so this moves forward the process, but then even once City Council and PDC might select the future for Memorial Coliseum, we've said from the very beginning it is has to be considered sort of half-baked, half-complete, because then we need to move on to the rest of the district. And as we plan the rest of the district, we will want to go back and make sure that that is informed by and connected to Memorial Coliseum. We have to do both. Finally, I just want to make sure that the City Council knows how hard staff has been working on this. This has been as community-based a master planning, building, futuring process as I have ever witnessed anywhere. In fact, folks from around the others that are observing this remark at you asked the whole community for their ideas, and you considered every single one, and you have a stakeholder advisory committee of how many? 355? No. And it's all broadcast, and it's all online, and yeah, this has been, I want to thank the stakeholder advisory committee. You're going to hear from a few of them today. 12 meetings, dozens of hours, great work. Last thing I'll say is competition is good. So the competition that we have sort of laid out, ask everyone for their best ideas and beginning to distill it down to this point, I think that competition and the transparency of it serves us well. And I have real hope and optimism that this process will be the breakout process. At least we're going to die trying. So if you'd please come forward and provide the council with an actual overview.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Council members. My name is Kia Selly. I am the PDC Development Advisor for the Rose Quarter Development Project. I'm here today with our City PDC team. To my right is Amy Ruiz, Planning and Development Liaison for the Mayor's Office. To my left is Kevin Brake, the PDC Project Manager for the Rose Quarter Development Project. Carl Lyle with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability could not be here with us today, but he is an integral part of our project. I want to thank the team and also thank our outreach consultant, JLA. Thank the mayor for his leadership and always his kind words about this outreach process. And for our stakeholder advisory committee, I want to thank them for their continued commitment to this project, countless hours of homework, and attendance at meetings. I've attended 12 meetings since September of last year. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you today to take this next step in the Rose Quarter development process, to invite teams to a request for proposal process that will determine the future of the Memorial Coliseum. Following receipt of the RFP submittals, we will come before you again. We expect in early summer to request your final selection on the use of the Memorial Coliseum going forward. 2 years ago, Trailblazer representatives began discussions with city and PDC leadership on Rose Quarter revitalization. Months later, the feasibility of a AAA baseball stadium was explored at the current site of the Memorial Coliseum, which spawned a public discussion about the future of the Coliseum and the surrounding Rose Quarter. The community passion demonstrated during the stadium discussion created momentum for both the city and PDC to undertake a formal process for determining the future of the Memorial Coliseum with greater community benefit and new development in the surrounding area at the Rose Quarter. Rose Quarter development, including the future reuse of the Coliseum, will revitalize a neighborhood, create jobs, leverage private investment in our city, and build on the wealth of transit investments at the Rose Quarter. As Mayor Adams was noting earlier, this is a somewhat unorthodox approach to planning an area. But based on intense community interest in the future of the Coliseum, we're tackling this part of the project, reuse of the Coliseum, as the first phase of our project. We developed this somewhat innovative approach in consultation with citizens in the planning and development community, as well as citizens in the neighborhood surrounding. And our direction was based on the following key factors. As mentioned, the community has positioned the Coliseum as really the heart and soul of this district. And we all recognize, the community largely recognizes, that this building is really the catalyst for new area development. A community-supported planning framework of mixed-use development is already in place. We also honor the veterans' deep concerns about the future of the building and their need for resolution early on. A local effort also made possible the listing of the structure on the National Register of Historic Places, which was completed in last quarter of 2009. And also, history tells us that, as the mayor mentioned, previous traditional planning approaches have not been enough to spawn redevelopment at the Rose Quarter. So the Rose Quarter project is different than how we typically approach major development projects, both in terms of what we're starting with first, as well as our outreach approach. And we're really considering this a pilot for how to more thoroughly engage the community in our redevelopment efforts across the city. To date, the process has generated an unprecedented amount of public interest and engagement, and you'll hear more about that throughout the presentations this afternoon.
And if I could, do you mind if I interrupt you just to go back one slide? I want to also, you'll hear later in testimony, but for those that might be watching this, I want to underscore the, in addition to the facility itself, which we're covering is really the focus of today's discussion, and the absolute need to highlight the facility relationship with veterans, also the surrounding quarters' historical significance as a predominantly African-American neighborhood, Williams Avenue, long before this was here. And that will be, obviously, is a focus of the Memorial Coliseum future, but also a key focus for the rest of the district.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Brake from PDC. A determination on the future of the Coliseum is expected in early summer of 2010, when we will come back to you with final selection based on the RFP submittals. We will then leverage our previous planning efforts and prepare a community-supported strategy for developing the surrounding public and privately held Rose Quarter properties by late fall of 2010, in close coordination with the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee and other community partners. Our goal is to execute a development agreement late this year that catalyzes the Coliseum and broader Rose Quarter development. In August 2009, the City and PDC executed a Memorandum of Understanding with Portland Arena Management that outlined the parameters of the city-led process for determining the future of the Coliseum and the Rose Quarter, which recognizes PAM's existing development rights to city-owned properties in the Rose Quarter. In September, the Rose Quarter Development Project kicked off with the formation of a 31-member Stakeholder Advisory Committee, referred to as the SAC, which is chaired by Mayor Adams and represents a broad range of community interests, including cultural heritage, veterans, architectural preservation, and East Side residents and business owners. In October, the SAC developed a vision for the project and reaffirmed the urban design principles from the 2009 Urban Design Study. The SAC also developed 9 criteria for the evaluation of the Coliseum reuse proposals. In November, we completed an analysis of the Coliseum's existing condition. This work informed development of a base case scenario outlining costs and improvements needed to keep the facility as a spectator arena with enhanced marketability. Staff continue to work with key SAC members to refine this snapshot and will use it as a data point in reviewing RFP submittals as it relates to the financial criterion. In November, we issued a call for concepts for the renovation or adaptive reuse of the Coliseum. By January, we had received 96 concepts generated by the community. And after 2 months, the committee of committee discussion and evaluation, representatives of the SAC are here today to present a recommendation that's supported by 26 of 31 voting members. A minority report representing the views of 5 SAC members will also be presented to you today. So the request for proposal process is a critical step that will create a thorough understanding of the capital costs and operations of the concepts, as well as capabilities of the teams to access capital and leverage our limited public funds to implement this complex project. Our initial call for concept application was by design brief, so citizens would not be deterred from sharing their concept by the length or complexity of the online application. Based on your direction today, PDC will issue the request for proposal and will offer a $40,000 stipend to each competing team based on a proposal that is deemed responsive by PDC. As staff, we are working hard to facilitate a transparent, open, and inclusive community outreach process and maintain our focus and timeline so that we can deliver a revitalized Memorial Coliseum and begin early phases of new Rose Quarter development to generate near-term private investment in our city and create jobs for Portlanders. Time is of the essence, particularly given the Oregon Convention Center urban renewal area's expiration in 2013 and the need to stimulate the local economy. Next, you're going to hear about the minority report from Will Mott and Dean Giswold, 2 SAC members.
Welcome to City Council. Welcome back, I think, for most of you. Glad you're here. Thanks for your work on this project.
My name's Dean Giswold, and I was going to lead off, but my colleague Will Mock has got a class to teach at 4 o'clock in real estate development. It's about a 10-minute walk from here, so he's going to go first, and then I'll come back in.
Mr. Mayor and Council, thank you. Because of that, I will be mercifully brief. The city's efforts to resolve the operating agreement issue have proven counterproductive. Despite claiming to have lost money managing the Coliseum, the Blazer president states, quote, "The current agreement is also very important to our business model, so any changes to the agreement will need to add significant benefits to PAM. At present, it's difficult to envision changes to the agreement that would fully protect interests vital to PAM. PAM reserves the right to decide, in its sole discretion, whether it will agree to any such changes. That is not the statement of a cooperative private partner in a public-private partnership, nor for the VMAC, nor for the MARC, nor one that deserves public investment. Without PAM profits, the business model which PAM seeks to protect must be non-competition, protecting the Blazers' economic interests in the Rose Garden. The non-competition agreement has now been in effect longer than a patent, and its continuance will preclude any other credible proposal, as well as optimization of the public profit and community potential for the city. PAM has withheld detailed operating income and expense data of the type normally published by operators of publicly owned arenas on the stated ground that its disclosure would, quote, reduce the competitiveness of the Coliseum as a facility, close quote. Yet, publication of more detailed data by the public owners of the Spokane Arena has not harmed its competitiveness. It's logical to expect quite the reverse to occur. That is, publication of lower event rental fees for the Coliseum would reduce the competitiveness of the Rose Garden, which PAM apparently seeks to prevent by non-disclosure. The problem is not the Coliseum structure, it is with the deal structure. There is no public benefit in reducing seating capacity as the Blazers plan, because it is the largest events that are the most profitable. It is understandable that fewer seats make the Coliseum less competitive with the Rose Garden for larger, more profitable events. That's why our essential base case was addressed to increasing public profitability for public management in 4 areas of the Coliseum: arena, concourse, lower level, and exhibit hall at the lowest public cost and investment while preserving its ability to accommodate larger, more profitable events with full seating capacity. Each alternative must be compared with its public costs and benefits. It is our viable public option. All of the proponents and alternates will require substantial sums of public investment, which may reach as much as $150 to $200 million. The PDC has undertaken no public cost-benefit analysis to suggest that the public investments of such an order of magnitude are even feasible or might outweigh other public priorities. Therefore, the city must not privatize a public asset built by your public-spirited predecessors for the public and for the veterans for multiple public purposes, not repurposed for private sports for private profit.
Thank you. And I want to acknowledge, Will, you and others have been great members of the committee, and your work to make sure that we have a good, accurate base case on which to compare everything else. I just want to thank you and underscore that you really led that discussion, and it's been a benefit to the process.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Before I get into my remarks, the base case, just so you understand what that is, that's a significant fourth option. That is that really needs to be understood and done well, and done, in our opinion, before the RFP process, so that everybody agrees it's done well, everybody agrees that it's a viable fourth option for the city to consider. And that's one of our concerns, that it needs to be done before we get too far into the RFP process. On my left is Tony Stacey. He's going to be the third presenter, and he will speak right after I do. And we want the city council to slow down the process, not to jettison it, but to put it on hold for a while, and one, tell the PDC to stop the RFP process, two, deal with the operating agreement issues now rather than later, three, have the committee, which has been a hardworking committee and with a lot of very bright people on it, do at least three things. One, work on the Rose Quarter planning and urban design. Two, develop a meaningful base case analysis, as I just alluded to. And three, work on the urban renewal boundary changes that are going on with a separate process, although there are some committee members on the SAC that are also on the boundary change committee. But the committee as a whole hasn't really discussed that issue. The committee has not seriously considered the Rose Quarter as a whole, nor has the committee considered the planning and urban design for the Broadway corridor and the Bridgehead areas, which should be key parts of this process. The committee needs to review and update existing Rose Quarter plans. You may remember that the current plan contemplated the demolition of the Coliseum, which is no longer the case. Further, we have been informed that PAM, the Blazers, rather than PDC or the City Planning Department, will undertake and lead a planning process for the Rose Quarter this summer. To have a private party, especially one with an inherent conflict of interest, plan public property is not in the public interest, in our opinion. PDC admits that the Coliseum modifications coming out of the RFP process may be necessary based on the outcomes of the Rose Quarter planning, which raises the obvious question. Why not do the planning now, do the RFP later? And I'll turn it over to my colleague, Tony Stacey.
Thanks, Professor.
Mayor and commissioners, first I'd like to thank the Office of the Mayor for opening up and engaging the veterans in this whole process. You would be very surprised at how many emails and phone calls and meetings that my colleague Harley Waddell and myself have been in, informing all the veteran service organizations and veterans throughout the state of Oregon, including the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. The one statement that the veterans would like to have me put on the record, the Memorial Coliseum started out as the cornerstone of this area as a memorial to veterans, and it should be retained as such. And therefore, most of the veteran service organizations are in support of the minority report. Also, for the record, I had voted through our vote there at the SAC committee meeting that we should move forward with the RFP process. But I find a lot of merit in the minority report on a lot of different levels. And to take a thought that Commissioner Fish had said previously today, fairness is quite key to any kind of process. So we're asking you to kindly consider the minority report as the other option in this SAC Committee Rose Quarter development process. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I read your report, and what was the basis for the information not being produced for you for the operating income and the expense data?
As we understand it, was that it was confidential.
And what's the basis for that?
I don't know.
You don't know. You were never given a reason?
No, only that to disclose it would not be in the best interest, and it was confidential information, and they have disclosed some numbers, but to go further as we had requested would not be appropriate. And the PDC people may know more because the committee didn't have any direct contacts with the Trailblazers as a whole on this issue. We made a request. And as I remember the committee meeting, we got a response, and that was the response as delivered to us by the PDC staffers.
So, and then on another issue, you also recommended that the bowl remain in its entirety, arguing that we could preclude larger events. But I've worked closely with the Winterhawks in the last few years, and according to them, a smaller bowl would actually, they think, increase the attendance for Winterhawks games. Did you consider that as well?
We heard testimony from the Trailblazers and from Mark, and I think all three actually want to reduce the size of the bowl. I think speaking for Will and myself, I don't know about Tony, but we weren't convinced that that's the case. The 10,000 to 12,000 is harder to fill, and the argument was that it's not as intimate, but it does provide a worthy place for events that are in the 10 to 12,000, which make more money, such as the Davis Cup three-day tournament that took place there a couple of years ago, and provided the surplus revenue for that year in and of itself. But we did take into account the comments from the Winterhawks, from the Trailblazers, from all of the proposals that suggested reducing the bowl, and we were not convinced.
Maybe I could also add that the operating agreement does not require them to turn over the kind of information that in the future I would like whoever is selected as the operator. So it's not necessarily, I wouldn't put the fault for lack of information at the feet of the Blazers. It's the city who agreed 17 years ago to the agreement, and that's an example of the kind of amendment, regardless of what happens in terms of who's selected, the kind of amendment for more specific reporting I think should be required.
So, but just so I'm clear, does the city, as the owner of the structure, have access to those numbers in determining what the appropriate amount of revenue is we get from events that occur there?
I would say that there are not records over the life of the agreement available to us. In the more near term, I think as we look to make the base case adequate, that we will get access to more information. At least I'm going to continue to try. They're not required in the operating agreement to turn that information over to us. So
how do we know that they pay us an amount of money that's reflective of what we're owed under the agreement if we don't have access to the income and expense? How do we ascertain that currently?
So my understanding is that OMF does get access to look at their books, but as opposed to turning over that information to us, which becomes public record, that's the nuance between the two.
So maybe somebody that's out here listening that knows the answer,
Kevin,
that can address that.
Did Did I get that reasonably correct?
Yeah. So the city receives aggregate information, meaning the total revenue for all events. The event-by-event information, meaning the revenue from each event, we have been told would damage the competitiveness of the Memorial Coliseum as a venue. So it would essentially mean that the event promoters could negotiate down the fee that they pay to utilize the space.
You're not hearing what I'm questioning. I'm not getting into whether or not that would be appropriate to be public or not. I'm asking, it's our building?
Yep.
Right? And we subcontract with the Blazers to manage it. That's correct?
Yep.
And we get a percentage of what they make off it.
Correct.
How do we independently verify that the percentage that we get is accurate in terms of the events that they hold in the Coliseum every year? How do we independently verify that?
I would recommend that we.
So David Logsdon.
Dave Logsdon at OPAF.
So David Logsdon's answer to that question is the city gets to go look at their books to verify, and they compare to schedules, and they compare to what's been advertised. So they have the city staff have the ability to go look at all the details to determine if they are satisfied that what they've turned in to us is accurate. I would like to see any operating agreement moving forward to have more detail. And I think Tony went up and saw the Spokane Stadium. There's just a lot more information that in Spokane they're allowed to just make public record. I think that makes for a better oversight.
And I'm open to arguments on both sides of that. I'm, at this point, asking a much narrower question.
Try one more time.
And, I've heard the answer, but I'd actually like to hear from somebody on staff who is responsible for that. In other words, do we have the power to audit?
Yes.
Do we actually have the ability to bring somebody in to audit?
Yes.
The receipts and the expenses? Well, I'd like to hear from whoever that is.
Call David and see if we can get him over here.
Can I just add one?
Amy just went out to get David.
Okay.
I'm thinking. I'm sorry.
One additional comment to Commissioner Leonard. That was a key aspect of this whole base case business and trying to make it better. It also was the way that reasonable accounting rules were not followed in determining profit and loss, at least for developing the base case. And we wanted to correct that. And the mayor has said that he wants to correct that as the head of the committee. But that is critical, and I think that that needs to be done because that's a key option for you, for the council to be considering along with eventually the RFP winner.
I appreciate that, and my question may betray some of the statements that you made in your inadequate statement of base case, specifically item number 6. You say no adequate explanation explains the unbusinesslike practice for the deduction of capital costs from operating income. I am not an accountant, but I would like to have one of our experts tell me whether or not that's accurate, and if so, what do we do just from a business point of view as the proprietor of that building to ascertain that the receipts we get are based on the best accounting practices and we have independently verified through whatever accounting means necessary that they reflect actually the activity that's happening in the Coliseum. So you've pointed out for me an area that caused me to do some thinking.
Thank you.
Commissioner Leonard, going back to the question you asked about the bowl reduction as far as seating, in Spokane and visiting with the arena and with the city of Spokane, I asked that question, how come they did not start off with a smaller bowl size for their arena? And there was the answer was that they wanted to be very diversified, to be able to be open for any type of event to come. And with the situation of the Memorial Coliseum and the Rose Garden, I think it would be ludicrous to take down some of the seating, and that you will not be able to attract some of the higher end events like the NC2A that is interested in bringing indoor track and field again to the Coliseum. Or the Davis Cup, for example. You've heard that time and time again.
So. Well, you know, I just to let you know, I read with interest and took some notes on some of your points. I don't know that I totally agree with that point because I'm not sure that it is in our community's best interest to be in direct competition with the Rose Quarter. Having said that, I want what is there to be maximized for what is there in the Coliseum to be maximized. I mean, I see no good purpose in doing something that caused some economic harm to the Rose Quarter, if in fact we could reduce the bull size, have a more intimate feel for the Winter Hawks and then do other activities in there. I think the trade-offs there might make some sense, but I totally agree with you that we should be independently verifying how we're accounting for the receipts in the Coliseum, because there is an inherent conflict. I agree with you with maybe conflict's too strong, but there is, it certainly would raise some eyebrows to have the Blazers managing both facilities simultaneously when there is some interest to have income go into the Rose Quarter, and maybe not as much go through the Coliseum because there isn't as much money to be realized for the Blazers. So I get that we should be very, very sensitive to those issues.
So if I could just offer one other clarification, and it is not, I think it's, I haven't been clear enough through the course of this process, and that is that it is my intent that the city will lead the process, the remainder of the process for the district. So I just want to make sure that that's clear.
Thank you.
It is? Okay.
I have a question.
Yep. So yep, another question.
I appreciate the minority report, and I'm also just trying to make sure I understand the arguments and the concerns. Watch you a little bit on TV, but for those of us who weren't at the table.
That's a cry for help.
There it is. So my question is, I want to go to this issue of your concern about the timing and why you're asking us to slow down. So you're, as I understand what your position is, that you don't believe we have enough information to fashion an RFP an RFP and go through a process which is likely to be as strong and as useful an exercise as it could be. And I guess you believe that without a stronger RFP process, that the outcome and the selection process is somehow tainted. Now, those are my words, but I'm just trying to understand your argument. Help me understand what you believe is the worst-case scenario if this council says, okay, unconventional planning process. We hear you about the weaknesses. But let's let it unfold and see whether any of those concerns are cured down the road. Let's take that leap and let's go out with the RFP, cognizant of the very important points you've made in your report, and see whether down the road they get addressed. And tell me what the worst case scenario is if we go down that path in your judgment.
Number one, the worst case is that one or more of the finalists, the current finalists, or the alternates will drop out of the process. And you should add, you're going to hear presentations today.
So just so I'm clear, so a worst-case scenario is that someone thinks it's not a fair playing field and decides not to play.
Yeah, there are two levels of that. One is the real level that is faced by the people doing the RFP together. The cost and expense of doing that. Two is the perception of fairness, which is the public view of it. And you could end up with just one person at the end of the line, and that's the Trailblazers because they have the agreements. And there are many critics out there that would have told me in the beginning, why waste your time, because they know where we're going to end up. Now, and that would embellish on that perception. Number two, my experience of 40 years of planning in this city has been, I agree with the mayor, we need to do both. We need to do the Rose Quarter, the Broadway, but I think we've got it sort of half-assed backwards. I think we ought to do the larger area and the policies that are in that area. It's not a long process because there's also already some good work done, but it needs to be updated and take into account the fact the streetcar, et cetera, the Coliseum is going to remain, not be demolished. And we need to get a base case that we're all comfortable with so that the RFP proposers know that one of the viable alternatives, other than their project, is this base case. And we can compare it against. And that base case, developing that, is going to take some time and effort. The worst case scenario is that you're not going to have any competition at the end of the day. There will be presenters here later today who I think will tell you that might be the case, and there'll be other presenters that will say, no, we're willing to work with the Trailblazers, in all fairness to the presenters. I happen to think that they're naive and how to do that, but that's just my personal opinion.
So by way of conversation, don't go anywhere. The Blazers have a legal right to 13 more years of managing Memorial Coliseum. So if we want another option sooner than that, sooner than 13 years, we have to put together a process that is credible and open and transparent and inject some competition into what you describe. And then I just want to air it out at this point. My belief is that given that their first right of refusal to develop the rest of the district runs out in November, that there is leverage on the table for the public side to potentially renegotiate aspects of Memorial Coliseum, 13 more years of that, and get something sooner than that. I mean, that, and reasonable people can disagree. I totally accept that. It's been interesting as someone who's sort of lived and has the scar tissue from the last previous efforts, it's always stumbled on, it's always started with the district and then stumbled on Memorial Coliseum. So what we have this time around, we haven't had in the past, is that looming expiration of the rest of the district. And that's my hope, and I just want to air this out. That is my hope, that that would provide adequate leverage to allow other things potentially to happen, or at least to look at other things to happen in the next 13 years of status quo. If one or more of the RFP folks drop out, that's part of the process. I would also say, just to be clear to the public watching, that if council determines and the PDC determines on recommendation from the SAC that the base case scenario is what's best, that fulfills the purpose of this process, which is to determine the future of Memorial Coliseum. So I just want to make sure that no one should view any of the options as either pure success or pure failure.
So, Mayor, just if I could, one other question.
Yeah, sure.
This is extremely helpful. And this is an example of why we deeply appreciate minority reports in processes, because, frankly, they give us a framework to begin to test assumptions. You said a couple of things, and you included in your remarks your view about the sequencing, whether you should do Memorial Coliseum first or the Rose Quarter first and Memorial Coliseum. In the introductory remarks, one of the leaders of this effort referred to this as an unconventional process. So, I take that at face value. So if you had the data that you think you need to strengthen the base case, and if the Trailblazers today waive their rights under the operating agreement, would you still be opposed to this approach of looking at Memorial Coliseum first and then backing into the overall plan? Would you have a concern about that approach? Because you mentioned you did, but would that be a significant impediment to moving forward?
It's a tough question. Let me answer it this way. With the two assumptions that you've just made,
yeah,
I think on balance, my answer would be no. I'd say proceed. And the mayor has indicated at our meetings over and over again that's an iterative process. Well, that's not the way I would do it, but if we got rid of those two other hurdles, then I'd be willing to try it.
That's helpful for me.
And I'm not inflexible on that score.
We all are going to have to be very flexible and creative, all of us. Tony, I just wanted to make sure that I understood your distilling the point of view of the veterans. It has been my understanding that the veterans want to make appropriate improvements, probably modest in the actual change in and outside the building, but we have to get it up to like legal standards and code and stuff. But part of the attractiveness of the base case for the veterans is that it leaves it largely intact. Is that the appeal? I want to make sure I'm understanding.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Can I ask one question, Tony, for the record?
Uh-oh.
How many seats in the Spokane Arena?
11,600.
Compared to Memorial Coliseum again?
Yep. Which is, 12?
Right. Yes.
Thank you both very much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for your questions.
Yeah, you bet. All right. Next, we'll have the majority report. Please come forward. Thank you as well for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
And who is going to speak first?
Yes, I'll speak first. Okay. Thank you for having us. Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Andrew Colas. To the right of me is Greg Phillips, and I have Rosemary Colliver as well. I'm a member of the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and it's comprised of 31 citizens. Mayor Adams is the chair, which makes 32, but he's a non-voting member. We've been selected out of the 31 members to represent the majority report, which we're here to represent to you today. And 26 of the 31 members have voted in support of this majority report. We've been meeting over the last 7 months, pretty much biweekly, except for the last couple of weeks. And the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, which I'll refer to as the SAC, represents a broad range of community interests, including the arts, the Urban League of Portland, the biking community, architects, people with development experience, the Oregon Association of Minority Contractors, theater advocacy groups, the National Association of Minority Contractors, which I sit on the board as a representative of, and various neighborhood associations, as well as members from different economic, social, age groups, and different cultural heritages. So, great. Rosemary actually is going to talk about.
So we're here as a representative of these 26 of the 31 voting members. And throughout this kind of detailed and what's being called this iterative process that is new and novel, through this and the information that we have found and going over the issues that are ripe to the point of the process that we're at, we are excited that today what we're presenting is a true possibility through all of these prior past attempts to revitalize the Rose Quarter and the Memorial Coliseum, and that this will generate significant private investment, provide greater public benefit, and create new jobs in Portland. The time is ripe to push forward to implement one of these reuse proposals, because the jobs created will be valuable in the current economic downturn, which is also valuable to us in that it saves hard costs on construction. And moving forward before expiration of the Convention Center URA designation allows the Coliseum to capitalize on bringing those funds to bear and while that momentum is active.
So beginning in September of 2009, our Stakeholders Advisory Committee, comprised of 31 members, as you've had mentioned, were educated on the history of the Memorial Coliseum, the ramifications of its status on the National Register, existing legal agreements with the Portland Area Management, cultural heritage of the district, and the need for public-private partnership on a project of this scope. A report was also completed on the existing conditions of the Memorial Coliseum and approximate cost to renovate the facility in its current use, as well as background on the past planning efforts which have been undertaken for the Rose Quarter.
The Memorial Coliseum has been a subject of several years of discussion to figure out what exactly to do with the Memorial Coliseum. And the decision to approach the Memorial Coliseum portion of the district prior to the remainder of the district, while many thought it was unconventional, including myself at the beginning of the process, I've come to learn that if you look at the Memorial Coliseum really as an anchor tenant of that district and figuring out what to do with the anchor tenant to help develop the remainder of the district, you really see through this process that it does make the most sense. And this process has really created a significant amount of passion from community members about the Rose Garden, I mean the Memorial Coliseum, and it's built a momentum which is recognized that the Memorial Coliseum is truly the heart and soul of the Rose Quarter. It's honored the listing of the building on the National Register of Historic Places, and most importantly, it builds on a long history of planning that has developed the community-supported planning framework of a mixed-use district.
What you heard of earlier from the staff was that of the 96 proposals that were received by the committee, we developed 9 criteria over several meetings and several hours of discussions by which we would evaluate each of the 96 proposals. Of these 9 criteria that we evaluated all 96 proposals against was the ability to finance the proposed project, the extent that the project proposed honors the architectural significance of the property, the extent to which it proposes enhancing the Veterans Memorial aspect of the property, its ability to provide for an economically, culturally, and environmentally sustainable future, its recognition of the need for flexibility, allowing the building to respond to future needs and economies of the community, the extent to which it could bridge the gap of connectivity posed by the surrounding area that we've heard of creating some roadblocks in relation to the larger district and the city as a whole. Its evaluation and proposed enhancement of the economic impact of the building to the surrounding community and, again, the city as a whole. Its incorporation of and complement to the existing uses within the Rose Quarter and the surrounding areas, and the extent to which it honors the African-American cultural heritage of the area.
And recall or remember, as we have been throughout this entire process, that the intent of this process was to find economically viable concepts that create public benefit and qualified development teams that can enter into a public-private partnership, leveraging private investment with limited public dollars.
During the Memorial Coliseum future process, we have seen an unprecedented amount of public participation and process transparency. Our committee meetings are open to the public, streaming live on the internet, and meeting videos are posted on the website. In January, the City of Portland and PDC hosted a public event at the Memorial Coliseum with nearly 700 people in attendance, where we were able to see presentations from a range of concept teams, get public input on the concepts being proposed, as well as meet the concept proposals. The community has truly had an opportunity to voice their vision for the Coliseum, and it has helped us to define the future of the Memorial Coliseum.
After considering these 96 concepts that were submitted through the online application process that you've heard of, which was designed to invite concepts from all interested parties, regardless of development background, the concepts were narrowed to three teams and two alternates. The three-team proposals are compelling under all nine of the evaluation criteria, and they claim the development expertise and ability to see the project through to completion. It was acknowledged that the teams have the potential to partner with the city for a public-private partnership to leverage public funds for the best possible outcome. But once again, this is an iterative process, and we would need to see responses to the RFP before we move forward on development possibilities.
So the Stakeholders Advisory Committee created an aspirational statement to capture the community benefits and the innovative ideas embodied in the concepts that are not represented by a development team. And it is as follows. We, the 26 of the 31 voting members of the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee, support preservation of the Memorial Coliseum as an inspiring, community-focused, multi-purpose facility with improved flexibility to accommodate a multiplicity of events for public and private purposes at a variety of scales and uses, including without limitation, sports, entertainment, arts, and culture, in a manner that honors veterans, respects the cultural heritage of the African-American neighborhood that was previously in the location, integrates education, showcases innovation and sustainability, and demonstrates a triple bottom line of social, environmental, and economic equity in a way that is consistent with its status as a National Register historic property. The outcome of the Memorial Coliseum and Rose Quarter development should serve to increase access to community benefits for the widest range of Portland residents. Exhibit A on the next page that Andrew will share with you demonstrates the range of activities that we have strong support from the community and the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee.
So before you move on from that, I thought that was an excellent vision statement. I just want to clarify that was not supported by the minority either.
I think that my sense was, and the chair can correct me if he remembers otherwise, that we were all in favor of this aspirational statement.
Thank you. And I'm getting nods from behind you. Thank you very much.
Sorry for that.
Because it's wonderful, and I hope that's up on your website so that people can see.
Yes,
it
is.
It's informed by the whole process that you've been through. I thought that was
excellent.
It is understood that the Memorial Coliseum may not be able to support all of the following activities and uses. However, our committee urges Memorial Concept Proposals to compare the proposals for the use of the Coliseum concept proposers to compare interior spaces and use this as a base case. We're looking for them to use this in terms of costs, operations, and profitability. In so doing, they should consider improvements that augment daytime uses and district activation and may consider the following in their more detailed concept submittals. In response to the request for proposal. We're hoping to have an enhanced Ventred Memorial, cultural heritage, meaning elements that pay homage to African-American community that once existed in the neighborhood, and ways to incorporate the community in the updated Coliseum, meeting space with priority usage by the veterans, an eco-district features and designing operating systems that reflect state-of-the-art sustainability features, amateur athletic fitness facility, including an aquatics center, live entertainment venue, amateur and professional sports spectator facility, regulation hockey rink, space for visual arts and performances, restaurants, skylights, roof penetrations, and other natural light features, programming that reflects the aspiration of education as well as entertaining users of the facility. So these are all our ideas. We're not saying that proposals have to use every single one, but these were a combination of the entire Stakeholder Advisors Committee's thoughts.
So one that I've read a lot in the comments I've heard, I've been seeing, is the indoor market concept. Did you discuss that in particular?
We did. I think at length, and there was lots of discussion, we had feedback from the community on that. Many of our committee members also felt that was important. And we've shared that concept and even variations of that concept with the three development teams that we've chosen to move forward and are hopeful that they can incorporate some variation or aspect or concept of that in their proposals.
But it didn't make the list here?
Specifically as an item, do you mean?
Yes. I was just wondering.
I think the notion to turn the entire Memorial Coliseum into that specifically was probably not chosen. But to have that element in any of these proposals was encouraged.
So what I'm hearing then, and this helps me better understand this exhibit, that there may be other pieces that you would support that were considered like a market, which are not included on this list. So this list shouldn't be considered
the final list or the definitive list. No, and we've found the three concept presenters to be fairly open-minded through this process and open to feedback. And our sense is that part of what makes them three good choices to go forward is that they will continue to be. And we see them continuing to adjust and refine and adapt their thinking and their concepts. And we would hope that that will continue throughout the rest of this process, because some of us feel very strongly that that kind of element would be terrific. And I think also we're all aware that we can't put everything into the glass box, but what we do put into the glass box should be done in such a way that it will activate and animate the rest of the Rose Quarter, which could very well lead to what you and I would love to see more of there.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Well, and I think, Commissioner Fritz, that what you will hear about in the presentations is one of the backup proposers, which is the Rose Quarter Community Crossroads Project, is the proposal that concentrates on the indoor public market.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that Exhibit A is not the only things you think.
No, it's not a wholly inclusive list.
Thank you.
So based on the extensive process that we've talked about, the public comments, the proposal evaluation under the criteria that we've listed, the hours of discussion, hours of review of the relevant data and legal documents, while paying attention to what issues in those documents are ripe at this time, the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee recommends, by a vote of 26 of the 31 voting members, that the following Coliseum reuse concepts be invited into the RFP process. That's the Veterans Memorial Arts and Athletic Center, the Memorial Athletic and Recreation Center, and the Trailblazers and Winterhawks concept. It's further recommended that these proposers further refine their concepts during the RFP process based on the aspirational statement that you've heard, while giving voice to the compelling ideas that were widely supported by the public, yet unattached to development ability. In the event that any one of these three proposers listed above elect not to participate in the RFP process, it's further recommended that the following concepts serve as alternates. In the first alternate position would be the Rose Quarter Community Crossroads, and in the second alternate position, we recommend the Portland Action Sports Complex.
That concludes our presentation.
But we would be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Excuse me, I had a question. So do all five of these proposals?
Do all five of these proposals meet your financial criterion?
The details for meeting the financial criteria are to come out during the RFP process. At this point, it's only been based on a statement that they are attached to a development team, and so it's been a unilateral statement of financial ability.
One of the reasons for doing that is that, as we hoped for, as the bigger list of proposals got narrower and narrower, Different potential proposers that ended up being the list of 3+2 picked up additional partners. So we want to keep open that, but they're going to have to show financial viability in order to be considered responsive.
And one thing that I wanted to point out too is we had 90